discussing the concept of Kiratzor Hanacha here. We mentioned that Rav Chaim, did you get a chance to look at it? Okay. I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at the Ginzei Agrach, but I put it in brackets. It might not be. It's a separate sefer. Yeah, so I don't. It might not. I have a copy of the Beis Medrash Yaakov. If anyone wants to look at it, he has a slightly different version of the Rav Chaim, the stencil that we mentioned last time.
Same thing, but it's just a different volume or something.
It's the Ginzei Agrach are the Rav Chaim had a nephew who came to learn by him in yeshiva, and he took notes in a notebook. And then someone found this notebook, and after many decades, and typed it up.
Caveat in the introduction that they found.
The begins a grach. Yeah, it's not a caveat of the grach. It's his nephew's notes from Shir, Rabbi. Someone saw late.
That's the second of the Shiurim for Reb Chaim
on. No, that's different. That's from the grach. That's from the Reb Chaim's caveat, apparently.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know where I got the. I mean. I have the sefer somehow. Anyway, okay, we will may mention briefly what he deals with. He points out that, he deals more, in the Meginzei Agrach, he deals a little more explicitly with, I'll mention that he has a slightly different version of the timing. The way it is in the stencils, what he says, is the same vart. But in the stencils, the word he says in the word is that, in Hotzah, what's important is only the Akira and the Hanacha, not what happens in between. As opposed to Havar Stal Ramos. In the Meginzei Agrach, he says a little different. No, in Hotzah, all the way carrying in between is not important. What's important is the Akira, the crossing the line, and the Hanacha, which is more intuitive to us. That's more intuitive than stencil. The Akira crossing the line and Hanacha. But he says, that's not the same time, hearing here, point something out. This is the Rishos HaYachid. This is the Rishos HaRabin. And here is our sheep. Right? And it goes from, here is the Akira. Here is the Hanacha. So the version in the version in the stencil is, here's the, one second. The stencil version has that here's the Misa, the Akira is important for the Misa, the Hanacha is important for the Misa, and in between is the Mamon, and therefore it's not the same time. The version in the Meginzei Agrach, which is, I guess two different notes of Talmidim. The stencil was just copied from the Eben Azar, who learned it in Shir by him. Meginzei Agrach is his nephew, whose name I forgot, who's not famous. Who I don't think anyone from other branches of Soloveitchik family is so famous, other than descendants of Rav Chaim. He has a slightly different version, which is a little more intuitive. He says, no, the Misa, three moments are important. The Akira, the Hanacha, and when it crossed the line, right? Those are the three important elements. You're Machnes, and you're Meniach. Says, but when does the Chi of Mammon come? So you might say, hold on, now the Chi of Mammon is the same time as the Misa. He says, no. He says, if here is 1, 4, 2, when it enters inside the mechitzos, that's when the kinyan is chal. The kinyan isn't chal when it crosses over this line, it's chal when it enters in between the mechitzos, as Rav Chaim says in the Ginzei Agrach. So the hachnasa is when it crosses here. But the kinyan chatzer is only when it gets here, in between the aver mechitzos. Until then, it's not a kinyan chatzer.
Didn't we understand that's how you say that?
We actually do say that in Gittin. Isn't that a Gemara in Gittin?
I thought it's to enter the ear space.
Isn't there a Gemara in Gittin that has to be in the Aver Mechitzos? Someone remind me what the Aver Gittin that is.
It's like in the
My memory's not what it used to be.
Last ninth?
No, it's not the last turf at all. It's the second last turf. No. Here it is. Yeah, Kaven Shigia La'avi. Yeah, the Lushan here is a little unclear. It should be someplace around. You meant the second class paragraph, right?
Yeah.
Someplace around here in Duff Ein Tes is where it belongs. Bizarre law came to go aver agag. Begag shishlo. Makelskina. Hello. Gonzalez mechiza the odef odfos al ha'olyom. Yeah, it's what it sounds like in Daf Ayin Tes. I admit it's not 100% clear in Gittin Daf Ayin Tes, which is the right place to look here, but it definitely sounds that way. I mean, the Lashon HaGemara is not 100% clear. You probably have to look up how the Rambam quotes the. How the Rambam quotes the Gemara, but I don't want to spend too much time. I just like that formulation, the Ginzei Grach, because I thought it was more intuitive. Like Tainach, the whole way it's traveling is not important, halachically in Hachnasa, but when it actually crosses the line, that should be important in the Malacha of Hachnasa. So I thought that was a nice formulation that I didn't see before the last year, but I happened to look at since then, through, let's see, after the Shemaya. La'aver mechitzos. They always talk about aver mechitzos. Aver mechitzos means okay. You could probably interpret the lashon in different ways. They always talk about to get the aver mechitzos. Chor, the aver mechitzos means it has to be in the aver between the mechitzos. That's pashup pshat. So that's what Rav Chaim says. Anyway, this is the other formulation of Rav Chaim in the Beginzei Hagrach. So there's two different formulations, same idea, but two different formulations of how to work out the details.
So when is the key of Shabbos first? Two?
At
the point to the Gizmei.
One, two, and four are the moments that cause the Chiyuv of Shabbos. The Akira, the crossing the line, and the Hanacha. That's what makes you Chayiv in Shabbos. But three is what makes you Chayiv Mamon, when it enters the Avir Mechitzos. And therefore, the Mamon is not the same time as the Misa. Again, as opposed to Dalet Amos Brishos Harabim, when all the time is part of the Chiyuv Shabbos. Because it's just the Shir of many, many Amos. Okay, that's a different version of Chayim. The other interesting thing about the Beginzei HaGrach formulation, over there in Simen, what did I say, Mem? Only the beginning of Simen, and it gets into discussing other related things. The beginning of the part, like the first two pages, is relevant. If anyone gets, wants to look at it, it's at Yaakov's Makom. I apologize. I'll try to be better, and when they're interesting things, scan them and send them out, even if they're in brackets. He deals with the question of, what do we mean by Akira Tzorach Hanacha? do we mean practical Tzorach? Or do we mean halachic a practical tzorech or a halachic mechayev, right? Rav Chaim assumed that akira tzorech hanacha. We say what are the things that are necessary. We don't mean what are the things that are practically necessary. We mean what are the things that are the halachic elements that constitute the mechayev.
Why is two Gitzel Grach Hayev Misa?
Because he says there to be for Hachnas and Otsah, there are three things that make you Chayev Misa. Akira, crossing the line, and Hanacha.
Why is crossing the line? In other words, what does it do?
That's the malacha. The malacha is hachnasa.
But it's not inside any shuyot.
Oh no, because mitzad Shabbos, right? Good asik mechitza. And once you cross that line, it's inside the rishus hayachid.
So he's saying anacha, you don't need anacha. One of those three points is what's essential.
No, all of those three points are what's essential.
But he hasn't had done anacha yet, yeah. Too. So.
No, but it doesn't mean these three points constitute the mechayev. The mechayev is those three things together.
Okay, so it's at the end really, the kinyan is before the final analysis.
Yes. Okay. He assumes that akira tzorach hanacha means the akira is, meaning akira is halachically part of the malacha. Right? As opposed to a more practical perspective, you could have just said, unlike Rav Chaim, that you practically need to be oker in order to be meniach, right? I can't put something down unless I picked it up, otherwise how do I put it down? Yosef, you have a problem?
I was just asking, why wouldn't you say good asik for the mechira also, and that it goes into the airspace of the mechitza?
Okay, so the ultimately, the answer is, based on the Shach Notari and Gittin Ayin Tess, is because of lomintar, because you need chatzar mishtameris. When you need chatzar mishtameris, when you don't, is a big issue, but at least in cases like this, you need a certain degree of mishtameris, and it's only mishtameris when it's in the aver mechitzos. At least that's what Rechaim's assuming.
Would you be willing to say that that's what was in the Ra'ah and what was afterwards?
Maybe. Let's get to that in a second, although I'll make it a little more complicated, perhaps. So,
just to get the practical difference between the practical Sof Malach materials. What is the practical...
I haven't said one yet.
Okay.
Now, Reb Chaim points out in the Ginzei Agrach that the next line of the Gemara sounds like it's against him. What does the next line of the Gemara say? Let's go to the Gemara. Or the line we already read. Hach anami hagbah tzor achila. Why don't we say hagbah is necessary for achila? Just like akira is necessary for anacha, hagbah is necessary for achila. And the answer is, let's stick with the first answer. Hach efshel achila blo, hasim yefshel anacha blo akira, hach efshel achila blo hagbah diboy gochin ve achil. So he says, here's the question. The question is, Hagbaha Sorech Achila. That's clearly saying, what, there's a Havin, Hagbaha is the halachic element of the Achila? Really? The halachic Maisa Achila includes picking it up? No, that's ridiculous. Halachic Achila is just swallowing it. Right? Clearly what you meant is whatever is practically necessary. So Rav Chaim says, yes. That depends how you read the answer. There are two ways to read the answer. The answer is Yiboy Gochen Ba'achil. So Rav Chaim says, here is the answer. The Pashat Pshat. Shot in the answer of Yiboy Gochen Ve'achil is that it is a practical getter, but practically you can eat without Hagbah. Or, the way Rav Chaim said, is that no, that's the answer of the Gemara. When the Gemara says Yiboy Gochen Ve'achil, they just didn't mean practically you can eat with Hagbah. What they meant is, this is the Gloy Milsa, since you can eat without Hagbah. That shows that Hagbah is not halakhically part of the Mechayev. After all, you can eat without Hagbah. What does Hagbah have to do with anything? So even though the Gemara sounds like it's saying, Akiva Tzorach Hanacha is all a matter of practically what you need to do. Whatever you practically need to do counts as part of the Mechayev. Rav Chaim is saying, no, it's whatever is a halakhic halos Mechayev counts as the Mechayev. And that's what they meant, what the graph says they meant is that Yiboy Gochen Ve'achil is means shows that Hagbaha is not a Chalos Mechayev Macholos Asuros. The Macholos Asuros. It's not part of the Mechayev. It's a halachic thing. even though it's not the simple shtar of the Gemara, Ibai Dachim Va'achel means that it's not halachically part of the Machayev. So this is, and Rav Chaim will say his source in a moment, he says he wouldn't have made this up himself, but he saw this in the Rishonim. He doesn't say which Rishonim. He says he saw this in the Shittim and Kubetzis. Okay. Subas, that leaves a lot of ambiguity. I don't know if he says Shittim and Kubetzis. In the old days, what did they used to call it? The Asifa Sekanim. He says, saw it in the Asifa Sekanim. So let's try and think a little in the Rishonim. What is which of these is true? And here, from the language of the Rishonim, it's not 100% clear. But I think he might have meant the Rashba. I'm not sure, but if you look at the lashon of the Rashba, he definitely sounds like he's reading like Reb Chaim. Says the Rashba. Yeah. Says the Rashba, Elahacha Ikra Demilso Lomar, Dagbazu Ainot Sorchachila Cloud, Lilo Acha Below, and Balk, and Chitavs Achila, because we got him in Echo Achila, and Lazo, Hachanami the Chayyab Kori, the Inchiv Achila Tluivago Cloud. What does it mean, Halbaz not Sorchachila? What he means is that if you ate it without a Hagbah, you'd still be Chayyab Kori. It's not part of the Machayyab. I mean, he doesn't focus on a lashon of practically. Hagbah is not tzorech achila because you could eat it without hagbah. He says no. Hagbah is not tzorech achila because if you had eaten without hagbah, you would still be chayiv karish. You wouldn't be missing anything from the chayiv. It's not a halachic tzorech of the chayiv achila. Right? Meaning, hagbah, just to clarify, is not practically necessary in order to eat, or Hagbah is not part of the Mechayev of Achila. Well, you can be Chayev Kores without Hagbah. And I will point out Nafkamina in a moment. And then he says a little further, the chiyav is only for achila. And he says again, he keeps focusing whether you're chayav or not. If you could eat without hagbah, you'd be chayav. Right? I mean, you're chayav with or without hagbah. Hagbah is not necessary for the chayav. Therefore, ain achiyav el b'achila v'ada, v'helkach l'chuskal isar shas achiloso. Okay, that's what he says. He says, what does it mean? Akira is part of the Machayiv of Hanukkah. You're not Chayiv for Chilul Shabbos without Akira. If you could skip the Akira or have your friend fill in the Akira, you would be Potter from Karis. You'd be Potter from Chatas. But in Achila, even at Hagbah, you're Chayiv Chatas. It's not halachic necessity. As opposed to the... what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina, I think, is this. The discussion of the the machlokes in the Rashba and the Ritva, if you analyze very carefully, what about putting it in your mouth? Hagbah is not necessary for eating, right? You can be chai without hagbah. You can eat without hagbah. Everyone knows you can eat without hagbah, right? You can just lean your face down and eat. Zalobaya. But what about putting it in your mouth, like swallowing it into your throat? Right? Like the hachnasa l'piv. Right? The beis ha'bliya v'mokam shiyam alav zero. What about swallowing it into the top of your throat? You can't eat without that. You can eat without hagbah. You can't eat without swallowing. Now, it's not called eating till the end of the swallowing, right? As long as I can still cough it up, there's no chiyuv of eating yet. That was long enough days. What about hachnasa l'beis ha'bliya? So you clearly, there's no way to eat without hachnasa l'beis ha'bliya. But, says the Rashba, he says, avada mikinokat le'bapume kanye, k'daminan le'el v'shatok l'chavir v'sof peva, k'shin hechidomi imasa l'duri ne'hadrei, k'lom rechev d'lo ha'drei kanye v'pume, b'schai v'nash l'have, ad debali. He says, hold on, on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it's clear that entering your mouth is not considered Chayiv Misa. Right? That was what he said. If you can still cough it up, you're Chayiv Mama, but you're not Chayiv Misa. He says, but entering your mouth is necessary. Right? That was the question. The nafkamina is Hachnasa Lepiv, meaning to the top of your Hachnasa. It has to go into your mouth and get swallowed in your throat in order to eat it. The Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Beis assumed that that was not called Chayiv Misa. Because it says that if you first have it on the top of your mouth, the Chayiv Mamon before the Chayiv Misa. So the question is, why did Daf Lamed Amud Beis assume there is no Chayiv Misa in the initial stages of swallowing? That's a question all the Rishonim were bothered by. Why, if we have Akira Tzarech Hanacha, if Akira counts as Chayiv Misa even though it's not finished till Hanacha, I understand why Hagbah does not count as Machos Asuros. But why is it at least the beginning of the putting in your mouth count as Machos Asuros? That's necessary for eating. To the best of my knowledge, there's no way to eat anything without getting into your mouth. So answers the Rashba, which I assume is the Makor of the Graf, because it's not part of the halachic mechayev. It's not a sorech hilchati in modern day words. That's the Rashba answers. The Rashba says, hold on a second, if Lamed Amud Beis, why don't we say, hachnasu lepiv, and the beis havliya lomakum shiyachulach, zero mishah, matzi ladure, sorech vliya sofit. It's Surah, the final lead into the main ayim. The answer is, it's not halachically part of the machayev. The halachic machayev is only the last stage of swallowing. As opposed to the Ritva asked that same question. He says, how come the Lamed Amud Beis, they didn't say, hachnas lepiv, Surah achila? Right? Why not say, Hachnasa lepiv sorech achila. That seems to be really necessary, right? I don't see any two ways about that. So the Ritva answered, and the Ra said the same thing, but he's going to make it more complicated in a moment, right? I'm not going to open the page. What did the Ritva say? The Ritva says, it must be the Gemara Daf Lamed of Beis was only according to the next answer in the Gemara of Lo Matzi La Durei. Says the Ritva, really, it is Tzorech Achila. But Daf Lamed Amud Beis was Aliva de Manda Omer. What was the Manda Omer called? Where was it? Yeah, Matzi Mahadrla. Was Aliva de Lishna Basra? Because clearly, even when you put it in your mouth, it's not like shooting an arrow, because you could retract, right? That's Matzi Laduri, definition. So here we have Machlokas, Ritva, and Rashba. The Machlokas, Ritva, and Rashba, the Ra says the same thing as the Ritva. The Machlokas, Ritva, and Rashba is, do we say Hachnas L'Piv Tzorech Achila or not? The Rashba says no, because it's not a Tzorech L'Chati, and start talking Shonos of what's the Machayiv and what's not the Machayiv. The Ritva says yes, he's against the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Beis, must be that's according to the other Lashon. So Lechore, they're arguing about Rav Chaim's orientation. They're not arguing about Rav Chaim's specific pshat in the Gemara in Bava Kama. No, they're arguing about Rav Chaim's orientation. Rav Chaim said, Tzorech means Tzorech Hilchati, and that's the Rashba. While the Ritva, the Ras say, no, Tzorech, or the Ritva, the Ras is more complicated, said Tzorech means Tzorech Ma'asi, not Tzorech Hilchati. So that's a fundamental machlok we've shown in here. Tzorech Ma'asi, practical, or Tzorech Hilchati. It seems to be a focus between the Rashba and the Ritva. The reason I don't mention the Ra'ah is because the Ra'ah is makes things a little more complicated, and it's possible the Ritva would agree, although it's hard to tell for sure. Before we get to the Ra'ah, Tosfos, the Achronim are Medayik. Who did I discuss this with? What? Okay, the Achronim are Medayik from Tosfos, that Tosfos holds like the Ritva against the Rashba. and against Reb Chaim. And that's where Reb Chaim says he had to open a Shittim Gubetzes to find support for him. Rashi and Tosfos, he knew from his, you know, when he was 4 years old, Baal Peh, he didn't have to open anything. But he couldn't find in Tosfos. Why? Because Tosfos in Dibra Maschil, Di'iboy Gochen Ve'achil, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam in the Sugya of Gittin Dafnon Beis. Right? Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat from Gittin Dafnon Beis. And he, what's Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat from Gittin Dafnon Beis? Hagbah tzorech nisoch. Picking it up is necessary to libate. It's always confusing when you use the proper English word for things. I think the proper English word for menasech is to libate. It's a libation, right? The sure, whoever dominates for an art will sit. Probably saw the word libation someplace. So what it's supposed to say, you can't pour something without lifting it up first. You know, at least lifting it up in some partial, some fashion. So there... Clearly, I mean, Yaakov will argue with me, but the Achronim assume that no. Like, for example, the stifler that I put on the brackets, that that it's not halachically part of the Machayiv of Nisach. Machayiv of Nisach is just pouring out the wine. It's not lifting it up. It's just a practical tzorach. So he says Tosos must be on the side of the Ritva, that another Nafkamina could be, what about Hagbaha? Sorech Nisach, and here Rabbeinu Tam says, Hagbahat Sorech Nisach, that's how he got his whole Shita that Rabbi Yirmiya disagrees with of it, if we remember following the Cheshbon of that Tosos, Hagbahat Sorech Nisach, and Hagbahat Sorech Nisach, who's like the rich, but he looks at it from a practical perspective. There's another Manda Amar in Tosos. In Gittin, I don't think the named Manda Amar. I just think it's like one of the Efshar Lomars in Tosos and Gittin. If I'm not mistaken, it doesn't have a name, one of the Bali Tosos, so civilly associated with it. It says, Hagbah's not Sorech Nisach. So what are they arguing about? Are they not practically what you need to do? Menestam Shalom. Yaakov will say otherwise. But it could be that this would be the Manda Amar in Tosos and Gittin Dach Nun Beis Amad Beis. Below Amrinan. So it could be this question is the machlokas between the Bali Tosfos. That Rabbeinu Tam was quoted here from his Pirush in Gittin, says, well, lifting it is necessary to be menasek to Avodah Zarah. He's going to agree with it. It's practically necessary. However, the other Bali Tosfos there, whoever says, the Efshar Lomar, whatever you call it, Yesh Lomar, whatever they call it there, is like the Rashbi says, I know you have to lift it in order to pour it, but that's not halachically part of the machayev. If you could pour without lifting it, you'd still be chayev kares, right? Ready? If you don't lift it and you pour, you wouldn't be chayev kares. Of course you're chayev kares for pouring it regardless of whether you lift it or not. And therefore he looks at it as halachic tzorach. So that lechora is the machlokas rishonim, and the Grach himself points out that he is restricting himself to one side of the machlokas rishonim, because he's looking at tzorech as halachic tzorech, and what's the halos conceptually, halachically, not as what practically is necessary to, not as what practically is necessary to do.
According to what I'm saying, it wouldn't be that it's not focused on the seas, which means it would be arguably
correct,
not halachically.
Correct, right. Yaakov is going to say that it could be that Rabbeinu Tam is also looking at it halachically, and he just thinks halachically part of the machayiv of Nisuch is the lifting up, while the other man never thinks it's not. I understand, that's what I meant.
And how do you read the Adetosis?
You mean, how do we read the end of the Rascal Dibay Gachan Ma'achel? Is that what you mean?
And Adetosis Al-Hanami, I think
it's
more.
How do I read the Tosos? The Tosos Hachanami. Okay. Good. So I think we might end up having to say this. Basically, what does the Ra'ad do? So the Ra'ad ends up being a compromise. We have two pshatim what Sorech means. I put the Ra'ad on the board, but really, the Ra'ad ends up being a compromise. The Ra'ad is very explicit about it. If you read through the Ra'ad, it's very explicit about it. Agav, how many people have a copy of the Chidushei Ra'ah? I always put it in the Sheikh Betzah because I'm afraid there might be people who don't have the Ra'ah. But does everyone have a Kovetz nowadays?
No.
Or are there people still without a Kovetz?
No.
What?
Old
it's out of the old code. It's fine. Okay. So I'll put the ra'ahs where they are in the Shittim Kubetzis, but if you have a ra'ah, you can just look it up in the ra'ah. In this case, they say the same thing, not to worry. The ra'ah says he likes the practical perspective, but then he got stuck on the next line of the Gemara. So let's read on to the next line of the Gemara. Says the next line of the Gemara. Let's read on a little more. Inami hasin divari ladur lematzim hadrele hachi matzim hadrele. Okay, that day we're not analyzing yet. There's one day that sorech means necessary, either practical or lachik. There's the other day that sorech, no. It's only called a kirat sorech hanacha. It's not really about sorech. You need much more than sorech to say a kirat sorech hanacha. It's only if it's not retractable. When you shoot an arrow, it's not retractable. However, when you pick something up to eat it, it obviously is retractable. My ika bein ha'ilish and ha'ilish. What's the nafkamina between these two lashonos? The nafkamina is ik benayu or my maver sakam shirab mekor shirayim bali chaso lahachlish and amir yevshel anachu lokira hafenami yevshel anachu lokira lahachlish et amar lamati mahadula hacha mati mahadula. Okay. Then that's enough. Kamina, if I don't shoot an arrow, but carry an arrow or a knife for almost from Shasarabin and tear clothing, it's the same as the arrow. I'm just carrying instead of shooting. So if you say Tzorach means necessary, obviously it's necessary to pick it up and carry it in order to be Chayiv. Right? If I just put it down, I wouldn't be Chayiv. I have to pick it up and carry it. If you say it's a matter of not being retractable, of being, you know, irreversible, then no, when I shoot an arrow, it's not reversible. When I carry something, of course, I can stop any time. And therefore, when I shoot an arrow, it's all one big moment, one big action. When I carry something, no. Each second is a different time period, and therefore, there would not be kimlid rabbin, and be chayv to pay for the clothing. Good. The Gemara asks, Gufa, Amr of Ovid, Hazor chayt b'tchilas arv l'sof arv b'kor shorayim b'alichal sopatsu shakir tzorach anacha. He... Right, if you steal a wallet on Shabbos, you are chayiv. Why? Because you're chayiv gneiv when you pick it up. Even if Mishas HaYachin works. And you're not chayiv chol Shabbos till you carry it outside. So therefore, the chayiv gneiv comes first, and I'm chayiv mabon. The that's if I pick it up, but if I drag it, if I pick up your wallet, then I'm chayiv money as soon as I pick it up. I'm not chayiv misa until I carry it outside. But if I drag your wallet, let's say it's a very, very heavy wallet. So I drag it, and the Gemara will say, in the end, Maskan, it's not a very, very heavy wallet, it's just a very heavy wallet. Right? That I drag it, I drag it, I drag it. So as soon as I come out to the street, I'm koneh, and Mechal Shabbos at the same time. So then I am putter. So the Gemara asks, why am I chayiv mamon when I pick it up and carry it out? Picking it up is the akira. Akira tzorech hanacha. Which is the akira tzorech hanacha. So what does that assume? That akira tzorech hanacha applies to picking up a wallet and carrying it out. So Tolstoy asked the question, Dibra Maschel, So it says, but why? I don't need to pick it up in order to carry it out. I can drag it. I don't need to pick it up. I can drag it. So Tosos answers,
what does Tosos say?
After all, I could drag it. No, I have to do some akira. I could have dragged it, that would be akira. Or I could pick it up, that would be akira.
Okay,
but still, he says, I have to do an akira. Akira causes the chiyuv. Without akira, there'd be no chiyuv. That's very Rashi in the language. Right? And so the chiyuv starts with akira and lasts until hanacha. So we're here, what Tosfos seems to be saying is that even though I don't really have to pick it up in order to do hotzah, right? I could have dragged it. The Gemara gives that option. The Brisa gives that option. But since it's halachically part of the Machayev, it's not a practical tzorach, but it is a halachic tzorach. Akira is a halacha tzorach. Without an Akira, there's no malacha. This is my Akira. That was halachically necessary. And I pick up the wallet and I walk outside. The only reason I'm halachically chayiv is because I put it down before that I walked outside and before that I picked it up. Without the picking up, there would be no halachic chayiv. So it's a tzorach hilchati. So don't we see Sotosis defines it as tzorach hilchati? So the Ra'ah asked that question right there in that line of the Gemara. It's a bit of a long Ra'ah. And the Ra'ah answers that. Let's get blue. Says the Ra'ah. Says the Ra'ah. Either type of tzorach. The Ra'ah says no. If it's a practical tzorach, it's a tzorach. And if it's a halachic tzorach, it's a tzorach. They're both considered tzorachs. And what therefore he says, when we were discussing the Vaidach and Va'achal, he interprets it like the Ritva. That was talking about the practicality. He likes the question. If it would be the Havani of Avot Tzorach Achila, doesn't approve of dealing Allah with that practical tzorach. But when it comes to the Gonev Kisba Shabbos, that's not a practical tzorach. It's only a halachic tzorach. Therefore he says, either kind of tzorach. Look, or you'd have to say the same thing for Tosfos. Lachor, you'd have to say the same thing for Tosis. The Stipler didn't point this out, but when it comes to Hagbah Tzorach Nisach, he looks at it as practical Tzorach. When it comes to the Gonev Kisba Shabbos here, which starts using halachic language of halachic Tzorach, that practically you didn't have to pick it up in order to do Hotzah. But it's a halachic tzorach, because this was your Akira, and the Akira is a necessary part of the Machayev. So therefore it seems like, told my whole like the Ra'ah, that either type of tzorach is what the Gemara means by Akira tzorach hanacha. You go either way. And since that's a mafurish Ra'ah, it's not unreasonable to say Tosfos holds the same thing.
The Ritva also wouldn't work out, because the Ritva on the question of the why not Kreira also sounds much more halachic, because it's usually
Okay, reasonable enough. So it could be that maybe everyone has to be at least like the Ra'ah. I'm not sure, because there are other answers. For example, Rabban says, we didn't get to this part yet, that no, either way, you have to do a real Hagbah, because that's the Shita in Megarah Yotze. Okay, so there are three basic Shitas. Either look at it practically, look at it halachically, or either way counts for Kimle to Rav Mine. That's the Ra'ah, and maybe Tosos, as Yaakov explained to us. Okay, we are going to just two more ha'oros on Akira Tzorach Hanacha, and then maybe we'll get on to some of the other inyanim that come up here. First of all,
did you write the Ra'ah on the blackboard?
What?
Did you already write the Ra'ah on the blackboard?
Yeah, right here.
Number three.
Yeah, okay.
The Rishonim argue as to this question for the Gonei Kiss. This question works according to the Lishna Kama, right? This question of Gonev Kiss works according to the Lishna Kama. Why does it work according to the Lishna Kama? Because it's necessary to do Hagbah in order to do Hotzah. Either practically necessary, maybe according to the Rabban that we'll get to, he says, or halakhically necessary, as the Ra'ah and Tosfos says. What about the Lishna Bas? Lishna Basra says, it only counts as Kimlud Ramine. We only say Kirat Tzorach Hanacha if it's irreversible. Clearly, stealing a wallet is not irreversible. When I pick it up, I can still not be with Chal Shabbos. I can stop and not be with Chal Shabbos. So, how do you get the question? What is the question of Hagbah Tzorich Hotza'ah by the Gonev Kiss according to the Lishna Basra of irreversibility? Basically, Gonev Kiss is not like shooting an arrow. It's like carrying a knife. I can stop any time. So obviously you shouldn't say Akira Tzarech Hanach here. So what's the question? So most Rishonim agree with Tosus, the beginning of the Rasul Hanami, Lishit by Yidra, Lo Matzim Ad, Lo Parach Midi, one, Tosfos, etc. It's not a question. Question was only on the Lishna Kama. Okay, that's what most of the Rishonim agree, that's Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is not. According to the Shabbasra, where you already said carrying things, you know, that it can start with only by shooting things, which are irreversible. Here you didn't shoot anything, so there's no question. The question is only Lishna Kama, necessary things, necessity. Here it's necessary. However, there are two other strange Pratim in the Rishonim slash Achronim. The other straight, there are two Dachuk answers. Non-mainstream answers. The Ramban, he reinterprets the Lishna Basra. Because of this, he says, how could it be a question only on one Lashon? Then the Gemara should have said so. It's a question only on one Lashon. Or it says, the Gemara should say, Lishna de tzera nicha, but the manda amar, then it's kasha, right? But two Lashonos, the Gemara should have said. Sorry. So, what did the Ramban say? He says, no, the Lishna Basra didn't mean what you thought it meant. You thought it meant irreversibility. You thought it meant, once you start, you can't retract it. No, that's not what it meant. What did it mean? It meant that it's almost the same as Lishna Kama. What it meant is that when you shoot an arrow, the arrow can't get from point A to point B without ripping clothing. But when you eat something, but when you that's one second. What does that mean? It means when you shoot an arrow, it can't get there without ripping the clothing. It's necessary. We're not talking about, again, the Lishna Kama is whether it's necessary to do the Akira in order to get to the Hanacha. Lishna Basra, we're going to talk about, is it necessary to rip the clothing? It's about necessity. But it's not necessity of the Akira, necessity of ripping the clothing. When you shoot the arrow, you have to rip the clothing in order to carry it. When I carry a knife, do I have to rip the clothing to carry the knife from point A to point B?
No,
because I could just... I could just walk around it, right? Yeah. If I shoot the arrow from point A to point B, I never heard that there are pitchers who know how to shoot arrows as curveballs, right? Arrows go straight. So shoot the arrow from point A to point B, it has to rip the clothes. But if I carry from point A to point B a knife, I could just carry and avoid the clothes. And that's the difference. And therefore, he says... it's not about irreversibility. It's about the necessity, not the necessity of picking up the arrow and moving the arrow. The necessity of ripping the clothing. And that's what he meant. Reinterpret the Lishna Basar. It means we only say Akira Tzarech Hanacha when you have to damage the money, the mammon, in order to do the chiyuv misa you intended. It's not that we theoretically could have done the chiyuv misa with or without something. It means, you want to shoot the arrow from point A to point B. It's not whether you could have shot the arrow someplace else. No. To shoot the arrow from point A to point B, you need to rip the clothing. It's in your way. But to carry a knife from point A to point B, you don't need to rip the clothing. That's what the Lishna Basra meant. And therefore, and therefore he says, when it comes to our case, in order to carry the wallet, from inside to outside, you have to become it. You have to be Magbia it, because there's no way to get the money from inside to outside without also stealing the wallet. There's no way to be motzi someone else's wallet outside without also stealing it. Because to be motzi it, you have to carry it, and when you carry it, you have to steal it. Stanford says this question is even according to the Lishna Basra, because the Lishna Basra didn't mean we only say Akiris Arno when it's irreversible, and we only say Akiris Arno when the Misa, you can't be Chayav Misa the way you want without being Chayav Mamon. Okay, that is a very complex shot, and it's certainly far from Pashup shot. It doesn't work great in the Lashon, but that's the Ramban. The Pnei Yoshua, in the name of the Ra'ah, even though the Ra'ah never said it, the Pnei Yoshua says, Pnei Yoshua b'shem Ra'ah, but it's not true. If you look in the Ra'ah, he didn't say it. I'm not sure why the Pnei Yoshua thought he said it. Sorry, Leon. Pnei Yoshua, in the name of the Ra'ah, says that he goes back to his Zvei Dinim, and he says that the Lishna Basra, or rather, how do you say this? A practical Tzorech needs irreversibility. But a halachic Tzorech is better than a practical Tzorech. But a halachic Tzorech counts even if it's reversible. When it comes to a practical tzorach, we say, a practical tzorach only counts as part of the key of Misa if once you do it, you can't take it back. But if something's a halachic tzorach, then that also always counts as part of the key of Misa, even if you could take it back. And since Akira is a halachic tzorach of Hotzah, not just a practical tzorach, therefore, it counts as part of the Kim Legraminate, even though you can take it back. The Rabbi Tzalel, I don't know, how do you pronounce this? Rendsburg? Anyone an expert in European last names on the side of the Gemara? How goes Rabbi Tzalel?
Rendsburg?
Well, okay. Rabbi Tzalel. Somethingburg. Rendsburg? I'm not sure. What?
There's a town.
There's a Regensburg, but then it should have a gimel. I don't see a gimel. So I don't know if it's the same place, different place. Okay, you have to ask some historian. He points out that this Pnei Yoshua is dachuk because it's against the previous line of the Gemara. The previous line of the Gemara says, according to the Lishna Basra, if I carried a knife for Amos or Mishas Arabim, there's no kin l'rabim because I could have stopped. But picking up the knife is a halachic tzorach. That shows even the halachic tzorach needs to be irreversible. So therefore, Sal Rendsburg points out that according to this Pnei Yoshua, that's probably why the Ra'ah never said what the Pnei Yoshua accused him of saying. You have to say that our Gemara, this line of the Gemara, doesn't agree with the previous line of the Gemara. Which is not so crazy, since Gufa might mean this is a new sugya, which is not a continuation of the earlier sugya. But still, you have to may say that the Gufa sugya here has different shot in the Lishna Basra than the sugya right beforehand, because the Gufa sugya here says, halachic akir is a halachic tzorech, is always given the rabbi, even if you could stop. But we just said the nachmini between them was carrying a knife. And that even a halachic tzorech, which you could stop, there's no kim and rabbi. So that's what Tzal Rendsburg says on the side here. I am to Yeshua, Shem Ra'ad, Lahatlish, and Nami Parch, Lever, Tzoklomar, Drabibi Barbai, Hamosim, Lesle, Ikabinayu, Domina Shas, Elbasama. Rabibi Barbai here disagrees with the Stam Gemara that says Ikabinayu, above. Okay, and then he says he thinks there's a deal for this in the Ra'ah, which I'm not sure what it is. Fine. So that's how you deal with the Lishna Basra. Basically, the pshat of Lishna Basra is that it says what it meant, and it meant what it said. You only say that it's all one big key of Misa from the Rabbine if you do one thing and the rest is irretractable. But the Ramban has a fancier pshat, that's a difficult pshat, that says that no, it doesn't mean anything of the sort. What it really meant is you only say Kim Rabbine if you couldn't have been Mechayiv Misa without doing the moment also. And the Pnei Yoshua in the name of Ra'ah, although the Ra'ah never said it, says that, the Lishna Basra, according to Rabbi Barbayi, not according to the Ikabe Nayu, was only talking about practical tzoros, but halachic tzoros, everyone's moved on halachic tzoros, there's only kin with rabbi. It's a nice idea, but it's dachuk to say that this line of the Gemara is disagreeing with two lines earlier in the Gemara. The last point I want to make about a kiyur tzoros hanachar for now is the, one more line further in the Gemara. So, let's go to the Gemara. Remember, we're up to, we have to remember we're up to the Gemara also. Be Rabbi says, if you have a principle that whatever is necessary is part of the fee of Lisa and Pater you from Mammon, then when I pick up the wallet, that's the next shaker for I sought my Otsah. Shouldn't it Pater me from Mammon? That's against the Bryce that says I'm Chayat Mammon. But my, how can I name a Gwatsar Chatsahi? How can my skin go shake Biom and Aslats Neob and Nimlach Lavotsio? Ah! No. This is okay, because when I picked it up, I didn't intend to do Otsah. Only later I decided to do Otsah, meaning when I picked up his wallet, I intended to steal it and not carry it outside. It's a little funny. I'm not sure what my intention was. If I'm stealing, why did I carry it outside? I guess I somehow had some intention, either when I picked it up, maybe I intended it to take it out through a carmelis or something, instead of taking it out on the street, or when I originally picked it up to steal it, I intended to like hide it in a hiding place beneath the floorboards in his house and then come back for it later. For some reason, I saw the cop there, so I figured I'd hide it in his backyard. Maybe I'd bury it in his backyard and sneak into the backyard and cover it at night or something. Whatever, I picked it up, the duck and gochimta, intending not to take it outside, which again is a strange thing for a thief to do. And then I decided to take it outside. And that's why when I picked it up, there's no thing that I'm made because I was not planning to take it outside. Only later I decided to take it outside. So the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, right, we dealt with this at length last year. Those of us who were in my shiur last year, or in Rabbi Miller's shiur last year, or in Rosenzweig's shiur last year, or are there any other shiurim that learned the first parak of Shabbos last year? Okay. Dealt with this concept at great length, that it's not enough to have akira to be chayav for Shabbos. Your akira needs to be with kavanas malacha. The akira needs kavana. So therefore, if I pick something up intending to move it just to a shelf over here, and then I change my mind, I pick this up thinking I'll put it over here, and I change my mind and carry it to the street, I'm potter, because the akira was not with kavana to do the malacha otsah. So therefore, in this case, that can't be what the price is talking about, because I'm not chayav for Shabbos. The price says, case where I am chayav for chol Shabbos. Okay, so the... Before we continue in the Gemara, Tosus has an interesting question. Now, this is a tricky question. This is a question on Havamina. Questions on Havaminas are always tricky because you never really know what the Havamina held. Because, like, the Havamina always holds something that's wrong. Otherwise, it would be a maskana. Once you hold one thing's wrong, who knows the chain of logical implication how many other wrong things you hold. And therefore, it's always hard to ask questions on Havaminas. But we did. Tosus always does it anyway. Philosophers, if you're familiar with Western philosophy, they have given up on this, right? Counterfactuals just confuse them. It's almost not worth discussing them. I mean, there's a lot of literature about this, but it becomes exceedingly confusing. You know, okay, if you're interested, you can fill a whole room with books about if Aristotle had written, the Republic instead of, the Nicomachean Ethics, would he still be Aristotle? Not for now, or perhaps forever. That's what people do in philosophy school in England and America nowadays. They try to figure these things out. If George Washington hadn't been the first president of the United States, would he still be the same person? Okay, I don't know, it's our view. Back to our case. So what makes this tricky? In the Havamina. Okay, in the Havamina. Everything is a mucker in the Torah, no question. But this, in the Havamina. The Havamina is that you taka archayiv when I pick it up, when I pick it up without intention, and then carry it out anyway, right? But that's the Havamina. So according to this Havamina, I need a little room here. John? According to this Havamina, Tosus asked the obvious question, Dibra Maschil. Shegbi, Omanas, let's the open, Nimlach, Lotzio, thank you. V'im tomer came in the salket da'idei hashdod mechayev ha'chutzah im kein hadra kushi l'duftin ditzorech chutzahi. What was the question? Or what was the answer? Is what I meant. We're trying to figure out how to get there to be no kimlid ravine, right? This is the resha of the brisa. The resha of the brisa says gomev kiss al yidei hadbaha as opposed to greira chayav mamon. There's no kimlid ravine. Why not? Because we don't say akira tzarech hanacha. Why not? So why not say akira tzarech hanacha? So the answer is, question is, akira is tzarech hanacha. So therefore, we should say kimlid ravine. The answer is that akar. What's his lashon of the gemara? Meaning, you picked it up without kavana to do tzah. Higbio al menas latznio. The havamina is, the wrong havamina, is you're still chayav on hotzah, even though your akira was without kavana. So Tosus asks this very simple question. Tosus says, hold on a second. If you're still chayav, then it's still a valid akira, right? In the havamina, it's a valid akira. If it's a valid akira, say akira tzarech hanacha. So what's the havamina? What is this havamina? So what is the havamina? Chayav anotzah. Why? So one possibility is because akira without kavana is still an akira. That's what Tosus assumes at first. If so, the question becomes, but then we should still say akira tzarech hanacha. This is Tosus's question, right? In the happening, it's a good akira, so akira tzarech hanacha. So what is Tosus' answer? Tosus' answer is different pshat on the havmina. No, the havmina was not that nakir without kavanah is machayiv you. What's the havmina? In v'yeshlomer the salkedait in hadin nimlach latzio have yakira shniya, that an akira without kavanah is not machayiv, but the decision later to be motzi counts as a new akira. That's the havmina. The havmina, not your chayiv for akira without hanacha. The havmina is that I'm not chayiv for. I do akira without kavana. Sorry, not your chayiv for. I do akira without kavana. I'm not chayiv. But at the same day, now I change my mind. I'm taking it out. When I change my mind, that counts as an akira. Change my mind counts as the akira. Since I picked it up but didn't have kavana yet, when I fill in the kavana, that's like a new akira. Normally, when I pick something up and carry it, it's not a new akira every second. But when I change my mind, it's a new akira. And therefore, nicha shechayav mamon b'shas hagbar rishona v'ein akira tzarech hanacha ad shas hamlacha, changing your mind. So then the guard answer makes sense. That most Rishonim would be with Tosos here. Who discuss it? However, being a Kreskus, I don't know if everyone has, it's not in the code, it says Rabbeinu Kreskus. There is a Chidushim called Rabbeinu Kreskus on Gittin, which we must have on the shelf, right? Do we have on the shelf in the basement?
It's the Ritzvah. Yeah.
What?
Getting it's like in the Mosadar of Ritzvah.
Okay, I don't want to get into politics now. Mosadar of Cook decided that the Kiddushim attributed to the Ritva on Gittin were really written by Rabbeinu Kreskus. Lav Dafka, they're correct. A lot of chokrim question that decision, question that call. They don't have absolute proofs. Okay, but the same Rabbeinu Kreskes, who Mosader of Kook thinks wrote what was called the Ritva on Gittin, and other people think didn't, clearly wrote a parish on Ksubas, and we have no confusion, because the Ritva has his own parish, Rabbeinu Kreskes has his own parish, and no problem. So in Rabbeinu Kreskes, he gives another fascinating answer. First he quotes Tosos, and then he says Rabbeinu Kreskes, he says, I keep this version of the Havamina. The Akira without Kavanah counts, say Akira Tzorach Hanacha. So he says no. Anyone want to guess what he says based on reading Yeshaya from last time? Besides people I told, did I tell you what he says? Or you're guessing?
I think I told you.
Okay, great. Oh, you're right. He told me this, and I told him it was Rabbeinu Kreskes. What is Rabbeinu Kreskes going to say? He says, even though this is the Akira Hamechayeves, even though it's necessary, we don't say Akira Tzorech Hanacha, because
you can divide between the Akira from
because
Akira Tzorech Hanacha is practical.
No,
I mean, that's my part of it, but
what do you mean by practical? Practically, you need an Akira to do Hanacha, don't you?
Right, but that's not the same Havdara, the Akira, Megabi, the Machayim, the Kala.
Yeah, no, okay, you're focusing on the wrong half of our conversation for clarity right now. We don't say Akira Tzorech Hanacha because psychologically he didn't intend the Akira as Tzorech Hanacha. This is the one chaver of the Rabbeinu Yeshaya that we mentioned last time. Right? What did Rabbeinu Yeshaya say? Akira Tzorech Hanacha is not purely practical. Now, Yaakov's right. Clearly, there's more on the practical side than the halachic side. But it's adding a very big chiddush. Saying, we only say Akira Tzorech Hanacha when you did the Akira, you thought that it was the need for the Hanacha. Over here, since when you did the Akira, you didn't think you were going to carry it yet. So you didn't psychologically view the Akira as a tzorach of anything. You thought you were just going to put it down over here. You didn't realize you were going to carry it out yet. That seems to be Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Remember what Rabbeinu Yeshaya says. He says, there's no Akira tzorach hanacha when I don't care if it lands. Because Akira tzorach hanacha is only when I care that it be a tzorach of something psychologically. Here, so says Rabbeinu Kreskes, he's the one chaver of Rabbeinu Yeshaya. I don't mean that they live in the same place necessarily. Just they great minds think alike. And he has this big chiddush. Akira Tzorech Hanacha is subjective and psychological. If I pick it up intending to carry it out and put it in the street, we say Akira Tzorech Hanacha. If I pick it up, it's halachically a mechayev. But I didn't intend to pick it up as a tzorech for Hanacha. Only later I decided to do the Hanacha. Then we don't say Akira Tzorech Hanacha. So he goes with Rabbeinu Yeshaya with the psychological aspect in addition to the practical aspect. And all the other Rishonim would not go that far and add a psychological subjective aspect. Okay, I think this is all we're going to say. There's always more to delve into, but this is the basics. I think this is what we're going to say about Akira Tzorech Hanacha. Now I want to go through some of the issues discussed by the Tosfos and the Mefarshim here, just figure out shot in the sugya, and elucidate some of the other halachi issues that are brought up by the Mefarshim on the sugya. So a few...
How come we're defining psychological? Double Shingles is covering psychological. I mean, is that what you want to define it all together?
I don't mean by psychological, like, you know, like you need a therapist. I mean psychological, subjective, what you think is a tzorach of something. Meaning, that's what Rabbeinu Kreskes is saying. It doesn't matter whether it's really necessary. It matters whether at the time you did it, you thought it was a necessity of something.
Well, we mean the same thing with trying to find the Lafayette of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, that was in his garment.
Well, first of all, the Lashon of Tzorach should correspond more to the Lashon of Tzorach and Gufa than Dov Shem is coming, because it's a Lashon of Tzorach, not a Lashon of Kavana. So I would say no, it's a Lashon of Tzorach. Just the two possibilities we always had was, it's practically necessary, when you do it, it's practically necessary for the important Mechayev thing you're going to do, or it's halachically a necessary part of the Mechayev. He said, no, when you do it, you think you're doing something that's necessary in order to do something else. obviously you have to be thinking that correctly. So that's, I think I'm saying something very poshut, and I don't think I'm necessarily committing myself in Dovashi Nimas Kabi.
Okay, one of the interesting issues discussed by the Rishonim here, not by Tosus here, is in the Megara Viyotze. In the, what do we say here? When I gonav kiss the regular way, I do the hagbaha, and the hagbaha is a halachic kinyan hagbaha, and it's also the halachic akira, which is why we ask the question that it should be kimlu rav mine. When I'm megarer, I'm never doing a halachic hagbaha. But if I'm not doing a hagbaha, then I'm also not doing an akira. And if I'm not doing an akira, then how am I chayav in Shabbos? So the Rishonim asks a totally unrelated question. Megarer v'yotze, why am I chayav for hotza'a if there's no akira? That's a reasonable question. I never picked it up. There's no akira. So, how would you answer?
Akira doesn't necessarily have to be this direction. It could be in that direction.
Ah! Akira doesn't have to be off the floor. Akira just has to be out of its place. One way to be ochre something its place is vertical. Another way to be ochre something from its place is horizontal. That is the opinion, perhaps, of most Rishonim. I don't know. It depends how you count. But then they have to answer one thing. You'll recall from last year, what do they compare this to? They compare this to, here we have, one second, the, exactly, definition of Akira. And so Aaron says, the definition of Akira is not lifting off the ground. It's out of its place, right? So, one shot is out of its place, not off the ground, right? And there it says, our sugya is very niha, right? Subos, lamed aleph, lamed aleph, or really lamed beis also, subos daf lamed aleph, megarer v'yotze is akira, because it's it's moving out of its place, right? Aaron says very poshut. Shalom on Yisrael. What is the what's the problem? The problem is on Shabbos. What was it? Daf Zaynamid Beis. Or Chesamid Beis. Thank you. Zirza Dekani is Potter. What is the case of Zirza Dekani? If you, I can illustrate this best. It's a bundle of reeds. But what do? You know, if you have something very heavy, it's too heavy to pick up. So you go like this. Right, you're Migalgel, but Tosos points out, you're not even Migalgel a sphere or a circular solid, at least. You're not megalgel a cylinder. You're megalgel a rectangle, right? So you go like this. There might be a difference, as we'll see. Right? That's the problem. So, what do we see from there? That you're putter. Why are you putter? You're putter because you never took it off the ground, lechora. Right? So, now it's a problem. Right? You're putter. Right? What does it sound like? Potter, because there's no Akira, because you never took it off the ground. That's going to be a problem. So, what do the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Tosos over there, and many other Rishonim, and the Rambam seems very clear of this answer. How are you going to defend Aaron's Mahalach? We'll call this Tosos. The Rashba has 2 days, but this is the second day. The Ritva, it's pretty clear from the Rambam, although that was not on the Makorah sheet. It says, no, Akira means moving from its place. Arsig is no problem. Megarer is Akira. Why is Zirzu Dekani Potter?
Never fully Nakar.
Because it's not that you didn't take it off the ground. It's that you never moved all of it from its place. How so? When I move it, when I flip it once, the pivot point stays in its place. Right? If you look at this line stays in its place when I pivot. Every time I move it, part of it stays in its place. And that's why it's not Hotsah, because every time I move it, part of it stays in its place. So that's the nafka mina is, well, I'll point out the nafka mina is very clear. So what do the Rishonim say? Potter, because you're never, here it gets a little tricky, there's subtly different formulations, but we'll just stick with the formulation of the Rashba and the Ritva here, because you're never oker all of it at once. Each time you flip it, you oker 99% of it, and you leave 1% of it in its place. So you never did an Akira. I know, once you flip it twice, you've been oker all of it, but that doesn't count. You have to be ochre all of it at once. You can't have an Akira at half by half. That's clear. I can't say, you know where my Akira is? Everyone knows. First, I pick up this half of the paper and leave the other half in place. Then I pick up the other half and leave the first half in place. Everyone knows that's not an Akira. To be an Akira, you need to be ochre all of it. And here, you're never ochre all of it at once. And that's the implication. The zero to the cutting means the Akira has to be all at once. But it doesn't have to be off the ground. It just has to be all at once. The problem there wasn't that it was all. The problem there was all at once. That's Tosfos there. It says this subtly differently, I think, than the Rashba and the Ritva. The Rashba and the Ritva says it's not called Akira because that was an ochre all at once. The thing in Tosfos there says it might be called Akira. But it's still not Malacha because I wasn't Maver all of it at once. I didn't move all of it at once. Even if I was ochre it, even if this counts as Akira, it doesn't count as Malacha because each time I moved it is separate, and each time I didn't move all of it, I only moved part of it. Okay, we won't get into that subtlety. That is, what's the nafkamina between this and the pashut pshat? This Aaron's pshat is, well, let's see who goes on the other side. Who goes on the other side? The Ramban, the Ravid, the Meiri. What's the nafkamina between these two ways of understanding zeros of Dakani? Again, this is a concern from last year, that's why I'm doing it quickly, that it's potter because you didn't take it off the ground, second shot, or it's potter because you didn't pick it all up, you didn't move it all at once. Nafkamina is, what if the Zirza Dukani was, what if the thing was round? What if it was a ball, not a rectangle, right? What if, it doesn't have to be a sphere, it has to be at least a cylinder, right? What if it was round? Nafkamina, what about rolling a round object? According to this shot, you'd be putter. Why? There's no Akira, it never left the ground. Again, I'm only kicking a soccer ball. When you kick a soccer ball, it always leaves the ground. You know, you have to be very careful. But I mean, you have a really, really heavy round thing. You know, you have a very heavy round item. You have a big steel drum. It's very heavy to carry. Too heavy for you to carry this big steel drum. So you turn it on its side and you roll it down the street. So according to the second shot, the Rabban, the Ravid, that one you really will see, you are you're potter because you never did Akira. It never left the ground. If Akira means off the ground, you're potter. But if Akira means moving all of it at once, this is Mefurish and Tosfos and Shabbos. If something is round and you roll it, you move all of it at once. Now, a mathematician will quibble about this. A mathematician will say that no, that each, if you use calculus, each infinitely small unit of time, there is a point of pivot that doesn't move. But the answer is that who cares about calculus? We're not interested in infinitely small moments of time. We're interested in things that you do. When I roll something round, the action that I did at once, every part of it moves. When I tilt something square, even the action, to the naked eye, it looks like I did one action, right? I moved the square thing. The pivot point stayed in place. But what it looks like to the naked eye when I roll something round, all the parts of it moved. And in any finite unit of time, all the parts of it moved. You need calculus, you need infinitely small units of time to tell me that there's a part that didn't move. But that's not fair. Luckily, we don't care about infinitely small units of time and limits and all those other things in calculus that I forgot by now. In a millisecond, every part of it moved. In a microsecond, every part of it moved. In a nanosecond, every part of it moved. In the limit of the smallest unit of time, as it goes to zero, lo manyeno ti. So it doesn't bother you. At every point, it's pivoting on something, but the pivot moves. This is the difference. I'll explain to you the difference in a lashon that as someone versed in calculus will accept. When I flip a rectangle, every flip I have to do a new maisa, right? Therefore, in each maisa, part of it doesn't move. When I roll something, I know theoretically it's always pivoted on something, but in one maisa, it rolls many angles, many degrees. What? Okay, let us assume that it is perfectly smooth. Nothing's perfectly smooth, but it doesn't matter. It looks perfectly smooth to the naked eye. Basically, just forget math, and then it makes perfect sense. Right? Forget math. I know nothing's perfectly smooth. But it looks like this is rolling many rolls with one push. It looks like this is only going 90 degrees with one push. V'zehu. Okay. What I narrowly, that even if you had something that was, let's say, a not exact cylinder, but some sort of dodecahedron or something that had many sides, right? Let's say it had like 16 sides, and I could roll it. Tosu would also be mechayev me. Once with one push, I pivot more than once. I'm chayev, so I moved it all. That's very, even if it's not, right? If it was one push, I can move all the parts. I'm chayim. Over here, with one flip, I only move one part of it.
Except, if you take, let's say, the building appears to have this 50-ton cylinder, it doesn't roll. You have to keep pushing it to roll.
Yeah, but it rolls enough. Yesh l'ayin. No. Okay.
It's heavy.
The answer is yesh l'ayin. Not sure. It could be, maybe that was part of the cheshbon that Yidden had back then before Moshe got the Shabbos off. That they took all this into account to avoid Chol Shabbos. Okay, now we got half the work done. According to Allen's theory, Akira means out of its place. Moves something out of its place. We understand why Megara is Akira. Why is Zerza the cunning potter? Because you don't move it all at once. If it was random, you'd be chayiv. You move it all in one push. I don't mean in one moment, in one push. But since it's square or rectangular, you don't move it all at once. Let's go to the other side. The other side is that no, Akira means picking something up off the ground. Then Zerza the cutting makes sense. You're potter even if it's round. Even if I roll a big steel drum, I'm potter. So I never did Akira. It wasn't off the ground. But hold on. If Akira means taking off the ground, why is Megara V'yotze chayiv? So here we have three answers in the Rishonim. We'll start with the most gothic answer, not the most interesting answer. No, that's a machlokas.
That's still machlokas.
Yeah, Tosa said Mefurish your chayiv, and the other Rishonim would say Mefurish your potter. Or would say, clearly, that your potter. Says the Meiri. Why you chayiv, says the Meiri. E'ef shalak l'greira b'lo akira k'tzas. When you drag, you lift up a little. He says anyone who drags a wallet is going to end up picking it up a little. Maybe not a lot, but they'll end up picking it up a little. And therefore that counts as Akira. Basically he says, this is the most technical answer. He says it only counts as Akira if you pick it up off the ground. But when you drag things, you end up picking them up off the ground. Okay, little duffer.
Don't you have? How does that work with the Gemara
about Lovely? What?
How does that work with the Gemara about
Lovely? Meaning the Tosis assumption there. Clearly, you don't pick them up from Fachim. So clearly, the Meiri thinks it counts as Akira, even if you lifted up a Kolshu. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to answer that question now because This is a Monday, not a Thursday. right? We know Monday and Thursday is a Mirachamim, but for the guys in this year, Monday is more of a Rachamim than Thursday. The Ramban says, what's the case of Megara v'Yotze? How does he, and the Rashba says in his first answer also. The Ramban makes an Okimta. He says, what's the case of Megara v'Yotze? He says, you do lift it off the ground. How? What does he say? Exactly. He says, the Akira is... when you drag it and it falls there, the Akira is... He says, what's the case? The case is the street was lower than the house. So when you dragged it, you drag, no Akira. You know when the Akira comes? At the last second, when you drag it out of the house, that's the Akira, because now it's falling through the air. Like meaning, the Akira doesn't have to be lifted, doesn't have to be going higher off the ground. It could also be going sideways off the ground, as long as it's off the ground. The Akira is when it falls into the street and is off the ground. That's the Akira. When it falls into the street and it's off the ground. Meaning, you're right. When you drag it through the house, it's not an Akira yet. It's only an Akira when you, if you drag something, like for example, if I drag this box, assuming this is the house, this is the street. Drag. Now I've done the Akira because as soon as it goes like this, it's off the ground. It doesn't have to go higher. It can go lower off the ground too. Exactly. I'm doing the Akira simultaneous with the Hotzah, according to him. That's good enough. And that's what he means. Okay. That's the Ramban. The Raivit says most Mechodesh Pshat. And this ties into a little lumbus we mentioned earlier. Says the Raivit, this is three answers that I know of from the Rishonim. Showing there must be more in the Achronim. The Raivit says that there's a difference, says the Raivit. Zirz the Dekani, go back to Zirz the Dekani. This is Havaras Valid Amos Birshus Harabin. Here, you need Akira off the ground. But, he says, I guess the Raivit really counts as number three, right? It depends. This is reminiscent of Reb Chaim. It's not the same chiluk, but also there's a fundamental chiluk. Don't think like the Balmora and all the Rishonim I mentioned before in that Dalam Shus Rabbim is just another kind of Rishus Lurshus. No. Two totally different in Yonim. Dalam Shus Rabbim is caring for Amos. Akira means off the ground. Otherwise, what's the Akira if it's not off the ground? But this is a case of Hotzah. That's what he calls Akiras Rishus. Akira out of a Rishus counts as Akira. When you're going from Rishus to Rishus, you don't need to pick it up off the ground. It counts as Akira because you were ogre it from one Rishus and machlis it into another Rishus. That's the Raivit's pshat. Akiras Rishus. So he says, basically his answer is, it depends. If you're talking about verse, Dalar Rishus Harabim, then Akira means off the ground. It's not up to move from its place, that's be off the ground. But if you're talking about from Rishus HaYach, Rishus Harabim, Akira just means out of Rishus HaYachid. Out of Rishus HaYachid counts as Akira, even if it's not leaving the ground, because it's leaving its Rishus. It's leaving the ground of its Rishus, that counts. When it's the same Rishus throughout, like Dalar Amos, that has to leave the ground. When it's going from one Rishus to another Rishus, as long as it leaves the ground of its Rishus, that counts as Akira. That's the Chiddush, the Raivit, Akiras Rishus, Shani. They ask on the Raivit, according to the Raivit, that Akiras Rishus counts as Akira, so what if, even if I pick it up without Kavana, if I then have Kavana to carry it outside, shouldn't I be Chayiv after I change my mind? Because even though I no longer took it off the ground, I took it out of the Rishus. So his answer, no, that's against the Gemara. Gemara says that you're potter. Okay, so there are many answers. The most poshut answer might be really what the Totsos Chaim says, which is that, no, to count as Akira, it has to be from someplace it was nach. And when it's already in my hand and I'm walking, it was not nach, so it's too late to do an Akira. What the Ramban here says is that, no, to count as Akira's Rishus, it has to be coming off Rishus HaYachid. Once it's already in my hand's not any Rishus. My hand is in the Rishus. It's in the Rishus, but it's not on the Rishus. It only counts as Akira's Rishus if it was on the Rishus and I take it off. But once it's already in my hand, it's too late to do Akira's Rishus. It's in my hand, not under. It's on my hand, not on the Rishus. So, okay, that's also a very poshut defense of the Ravid. Okay, Lamaisa, here we have a very fundamental machlokus. What Akira means, does Akira mean movement from its place? In which case you have to explain zeros of Dukani, and you end up being Mechayev when you roll the cylinder. Does Akira mean off the ground? So, like the Meir Ramban, you have to figure out how, in our case, it doesn't look like it left the ground, but it really did. Either the Meir's way or the Ramban's way, or like the Ravid. Akira means different things in different types of Malacha. In Dalam Shazarabin, since it's staying on the same Rishos, Akira means off the ground. But in Hotzah and Rishos to Rishos, you don't need to have Akira off the ground, so there's enough to have Akira off of the Rishos that it's on now, and into a different Rishos that also counts as Akira. Okay, we didn't get a chance to finish everything here, but we'll pick up Amir Tzashem, next time with finishing up these discussions, and we'll also look at the strange Rambam on the Maskana of our Gemara. The Rambam does not say what you'd expect him to say just by reading our Gemara, Kipshuto. And maybe we will begin a discussion of the Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, I'll figure out how much I want to get into it, but I think I do want to get into Tosfos Dibur Maskil Uber Shus Harabim. That ties into a very, very fundamental lumdus, which maybe we'll talk about. Uber Shus.